It's April 20th, 2006. This is Ellen Nori. I will be interviewing Mr. Olin Wetzel for the 50th anniversary history of Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. Yes.
So, you were?
Yes. Hi.
Well, our family came from Alhambra.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful farm.
Yeah. And my parents moved down here when I was 5 years, 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. old. That'd be 1928, 29, 30, someplace in there. And my dad worked then for the Forest Insurance Company back mm-hmm. then. And I went to school here, grade school and high school. Then I went to U of I for a couple of years, and mm-hmm. Uncle Sam had me for 3 years.
Okay.
And I went back for equivalent of two more before I settled here in mm-hmm. 47, I guess it was.
So you really are pretty much of a native of Edwardsville.
Yeah. And then Bob Wetz at the bank, mm-hmm. he's my third cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather was my dad's uncle, and we say we're third cousins. I don't know how people call cousins.
Uh-huh.
2 years, second cousin, third cousins or so.
Mm-hmm.
I spent my career at Forest Insurance Company, responsible for building the buildings at the county platforms.
Yes, that's a beautiful architecture. It was more beautiful. I don't really like what they've done to it particularly.
Well, I built a little building, uh-huh. which I thought was a jewel.
A jewel, I agree.
And then I built I was responsible for building the tower, mm-hmm. which I never did like it. Well, I was always going to decorate it with a big flower on the backside, and I never
uh-huh.
got that done. And then I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed retirement.
And now the headquarters is out there
at Hardica,
uh-huh.
On Marine Road.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. So,
but as far as university, I've had off and on relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know Dwight Morris a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was he like?
He was a fantastic individual.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, we had a theory, you educate everybody the maximum of their capability.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not so sure that's what universities should do, but that's what they did. And the way I got started with this, I'll just ramble on.
That's all right.
I belonged to the Rotary Club, and sometime back before they started the university,
mm-hmm.
George Wilkins Sr., not the one that's on the board now, but his father,
I think,
gave a speech to Rotary Club, and it stuck with me because he said that this is the largest population area in the state of Illinois without a public college.
Mm-hmm.
And that struck me as something that we ought to do something, because I was looking for a project to make Edwardsville more successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, well, why didn't the Rotary Club try to promote that? I have to think about it a little bit more. I said, that's just too big. We only had 50 members mm-hmm. at that time. You're not going to start a university. So we talked to Chamber of Commerce. I think I was president of the Chamber at that time. I don't remember. And thought maybe we could do this. And then we decided that we were going to have a university or a college or whatever it was for. That we had to take a kind of philanthropic attitude. Let's get it in this area and not in Edwardsville particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Edwardsville was incidental to it, but let's get the proper people to support it in the general area, and be it south of Belleville or north of Edwardsville
mm-hmm.
or Dalton or any place.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought this might be a good spot and a good industry for the community. Then after that, I didn't do much about it, and then I think Harold C. came here at that time, if
mm-hmm.
I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know him a little bit, and we decided between us and somebody that we'd sponsor a dinner at the country club. When that was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I was asked to be the activator or promoter of that. And several things I remember about that. I'm a very poor reader when I speak. I kind of speak extemporaneously. Mm-hmm. And I'd written my remarks, and then I had to travel, and I think a lot, because I was on a train or plane going east. I got back the day before that, and on the meantime, I had lost my papers on the... Everybody's like, says, don't worry about it, I'm going to speak off the cuff anyhow. So, So we had a group of people there, I would guesstimate, and this is 75 or so. Mm-hmm. And is this going contrary to records you had?
No, this is fine. This is all really remembering it.
Yeah. No. So they were from all walks of life. They were labor leaders and politicians and business people and just tried to cover the waterfront and mm-hmm. just try to sell this program. Mm-hmm. And we had set up, like you lighted doing these, a couple people on the audience, you make a motion, you second it, and that, and that was the way it was supposed to be done. Right after I got up and talked for 30 minutes or so, I think at that time, Dr. Morris was there, and I think he said a few more remarks, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And then I got up and gave him the pitch to him. Let's get behind this and do something about it. Let's form a committee and let's be open-minded about where the school goes, but let's get the start with the idea that we had to raise some money to buy some land mm-hmm. That would eliminate that problem from mm-hmm. the decision of where exactly mm-hmm. to go. Well, anyhow, we had set up, and all of a sudden they started popping up like chickens out there. I'm in favor, everybody was in favor of doing things. I have no idea how much money we raised or anything, mm-hmm. I just don't remember. And then, so then it was decided, and that's when they leased or bought or stole Sheriff College to start mm-hmm. the campus over there, and that was the beginning of the school, to the best of my knowledge.
Yes, that's right.
And then finally bought the Freund property, which I'm mm-hmm. at right now. And that became the center. I don't know where it was. I was about here. Mm-hmm. And that's about all I did.
Well, did you feel you were a veteran? Did you feel like you were part of a new generation that had come out of this war and was going to change the world? And
No. I just I'm not a reformer of that, and I went to service because that's what came up, and I did as little as I could in the service, I guess. I was a sophomore at the U of I. Uh-huh. The first semester of my junior year. And I did one of these volunteer programs back there where you sign up and you're supposed to get to finish school. Well, that didn't work out. And they finally called me up in December, January of whatever year that was. I'd have to look that up. Uh-huh. And therefore, I lost a half a semester. Mm-hmm. So I spent 2 years. I spent 3 years of service. And then went back to Uvada and took some courses over a second time. I only got half of it, so I had to take it over and
sure.
get that credit.
Right.
And then I graduated in 47. Uh-huh. And when I got here, I told them that well, I would prefer the U of I be at George. They're not available. They're not available. Uh-huh. Therefore, let's go with Carbondale. And mm-hmm. I think it should be an independent school. This is my feeling. Actually, mm-hmm. no point in being part of Carbondale anymore. I think those days are past, but it was never going to happen. I'm not going to politic with that. I'm not on any boards here, and I've uh-huh. never been that active. Now, you ask me questions.
Well, I was. Well, you mentioned that there was local interest in a university, and you listened to the speech by Wilkins. So Wilkins was kind of had been thinking about it, and he was kind of spreading this idea. Would you say that would be nice to have a higher education in this region?
I guess I have to assume so. He'd been a local person, Grant State,
right,
and was state superintendent of schools.
Uh-huh.
At that time, if my memory is correct.
Yes, that's right. He was. Your memory is wonderful, by the way.
And Edwardsville was looking for an industry, basically, because it was it needed something.
Yes.
And it struck a, I don't think it struck the same with everybody as with me, but when I worked at Rotary Club, I said, this is it. We're going to do something about it. And but my business was out of town. I spent at least a third of the time out of my office, even if I was president of the company. I was on the road a lot.
Where?
Flying all over the country and that. Mm-hmm.
And these old planes with engines and not jets, right? Right away.
No, we went on trains and one of those old Constellation airplanes that go 220 miles an hour, something like that. Flying's different today. Uh-huh. But there was not a groundswell until we got the groundswell moving.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but Dwight Morris was an expansionist in the education facility.
Uh-huh.
He was, I figure, one of the foremost educators in this area to promote things to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted it as an industry and then as a university.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sold then, and this is not the university we mm-hmm. sold that night. We got a commuter school, and now we got resident students and all that
right.
stuff. But,
well, so there were a group of people like you who had graduated from UMI in Edwardsville at this time, right?
Oh, I guess. Hey, we went all over because I went to U of I because it was the cheapest place to go. My tuition was $45. And then I managed to get a political scholarship up there so they didn't pay it for 1 year, and then the government paid it.
GI Bill.
GI Bill. I got married before I went up there the second time, and while I was still in the service. And so between, I always joke about this, and kids talk about not having any money. I worked up there, my wife worked, we had lived up there, been through the school, ended up with enough money to buy a brand new car when I graduated.
That's nice. So that was 1947.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Way back when, your standards.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
yes.
No, the reason some people went up there, that was public school and considered one of the best schools in the
country.
Yes, and
still is. Right, it is.
Today, though, I don't want tuition to go down, but private school tuition is fantastic.
Yes, it is. I agree.
Did you graduate from here?
No, I graduated as an undergraduate from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Stanford University in California for my
Congratulations.
History degrees.
I didn't get into that school. You must be real smart.
No, I'm not particularly smart.
You get
smart.
Into Stanford, it's tough.
Well, I had a Woodrow Wilson scholarship, you know. So.
What was that?
Well, it's a national competition for college, for scholarships. I got one in 1963.
Mm-hmm. One of my sons got one in MBA. Uh-huh. He applied to Stanford, but mm-hmm. he didn't make it. He mm-hmm. ended up at Northwestern.
Well, Northwestern was very good.
When he got his MBA, it was a top MBA school in the country mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. a few years ago. I think it drifts up and down.
Yeah.
No, I checked into that.
Uh-huh. No, I never, for my whole education, I never paid any money.
You were smart.
No.
You were smart.
So I don't have a sense of tuition. We did pay for our daughter. Our son kind of paid for himself, but our daughter, we paid for her to go to Earlham College, Quaker College, and then she went
Quaker?
To Case. No, not
well,
really.
Earlham's in Richmond.
I know.
Richmond, Indiana.
Yes, uh-huh. Right. I'm interested in your saying we were looking for an industry, because as I'm with Dick Norrish from the Intelligencer, I wrote a history of Edwardsville, and I emphasize that at the turn of the century and into the until the 30s, it was an industrial town, really. It wasn't just a county seat with lawyers and
coal mine and the Edo Nelson Company.
And had condensed milk and had some clothing factories.
And a radiator plant.
Yeah, the radiator plant. Right, it had.
Yeah.
And it had a large
large number of, really amazing number of war contracts in both world wars.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, right. So it was a little industrial city, kind of on the model of maybe Collinsville or, yeah. You know. But most people don't want to remember that about it. But I like it when you said, so we were looking for an industry. Because after the Depression and the war, I think there weren't really many industries in Edwardsville. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Well, you get on the streetcar and go to St. Louis.
That's right.
And I'm serious about that. You get on the streetcar and go to St. Louis. Right through here.
It closed in 57.
Is that when it was?
Yeah, I think it was. Uh-huh.
Could ride up to the university, too.
Yeah. Now it's a bike trail. Now it's all bike trails.
Right.
Yeah. But I just wondered, how did Edwardsville look in those times? Well, the streetcar was running downtown by the courthouse.
Yeah. Turn around. I remember the day it dumped over where the Bank Federal is now.
Really? That's where it had to turn and go down the hill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the back of Main Street, where they demolished a whole bunch to build that bank there, downtown. The
Mark Twain building.
Mark Twain, yeah.
Yeah.
But behind the facade that's facing it, behind the Bowen building and all those buildings, there were a lot of trees back there, weren't there, in that parking lot?
I just don't remember.
Yeah. Did it seem like a small town to you?
It was a small town. We were the biggest employer.
Yeah, Forest Mutual.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Till other things came along. The bank's a lot bigger than we are now. Or I don't know how many Forest got, but I left. We had 175 employees. But we just got here by happenstance.
Yes, that's what I was just going to ask you. Did Forest Mutual, was it founded by someone from Edwardsville?
No, it was a strange operation. It was founded in New Jersey by a fellow by the name of Esther.
Uh-huh.
And the secretary of the company, the manager, the bookkeeper of the company was a guy named Horror out of Lancaster, PA.
Uh-huh.
And when he got ready to retire, a man by the name of Ammon, A-M-M-A-N-N.
Oh, yes.
J. Fred Ammon built the greenhouse.
Yes, that's what, right, that I know about.
And he was like the secretary. He basically put the books in a suitcase and carried them to Edwardsville. That's basically what happened.
Uh-huh.
And then the company grew up.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of dawdled along. I became the promoting manager, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Halfway promoter of TTP. That's when we started getting bigger.
Uh-huh.
Became more nationwide. Mm-hmm. We had our office first in the old Bank of Edwardsville building.
Yes.
Where the administration building is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the National Bank building, which is down the Mark Twain building. And then we moved out and built the building on Second Street.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And you built that in the 50s?
I guess so.
Yeah, on St. Louis Street. Well, that's really interesting.
That was a jam
business.
Building.
Yes, it was beautiful.
The Charlie King designed it for us. He did now.
Was he a St. Louis architect or a local?
He was an interesting guy. He graduated from the University of Illinois as an architecture. And he practiced in Belleville.
Hmm.
And you ever heard of the Marsh Stencil Company? They make labels to put on boxes. Well, anyhow,
no.
He married Audrey Marsh, and that's
okay.
How he got set up.
Okay.
And then they got divorced something. I don't know. Last time I saw her was down in St. Louis, the Media Club. And then he was in business with Charlie Marsh, which was Delight Marsh's nephew.
Oh, really?
And and that's when they designed this building, not this one, one of these buildings, that firm designed.
Uh-huh.
Architecture Associates of Belleville, or Charlie King was involved in that.
One of these buildings was designed by the Charlie King Associates.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which one.
Hmm.
Then they worked for HOK for a while, and that's why they did that.
Hmm. Well, maybe HOK, maybe they were the east side offices of HOK.
They could have been.
I think that might be what it was. So did you pick the design for the building?
My building?
Yeah, no, the Forest Mutual building. Were you the one who picked it?
Well, Charlie King designed it, and
he's
a very creative architect, and he did a good job.
Uh-huh.
I was real pleased with it. if he could take care of his private life as well as he did his architecture. I mean, he wasn't a boozer, that he...
Yes.
Creative architects don't make any money. Mm-hmm. Lousy architects make money. Good
yes.
architects don't make money. Because mm-hmm. they put in too much time designing it, and then only such a fee. Mm-hmm. He did a fantastic job.
Did you like these buildings when they were built?
No. I think they're fine.
Uh-huh. Did you come out and look at them after they were built?
Yeah, I got.
Because
got
you were seeing.
I got a hard hat at home for breaking ground for this. But what was the first building? This wasn't the first building. I guess the.
No, this was maybe the library was the first.
Yeah.
Symbolically,
I don't
for Delight Morris.
But, I think it's still in the basement. Unless they threw it out. Well, am I helping you here? Just
yes, you certainly are. You are really helping me. I wondered about the financing of the land purchase.
That was just kind of fundraising. They should have records around here.
I just wondered if
I don't know how much we put into Florstead, or I personally did.
No, I was thinking about it went through the foundation.
Yeah.
And then the foundation, I was thinking about, it appeared to me in the records that there was a deal that each local bank got a portion of the money.
Well, they
from the foundation used that they divided.
Deposit.
Yeah, deposited.
Till they spend it.
Uh-huh, in many local banks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, till they spend it.
Well, that was part of the deal to get everybody to participate. So they didn't deposit all the money in any one bank.
No.
Now, I don't recall how much that was. I don't think I was on a bank board at that time. I can't remember when I started. I was here for 25 years.
Well, I don't. It was several million dollars, which was a lot of money then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I just wondered if I got it right about the deal between distributing it.
In these presentations, you deposit parts of the money in all the financial institutions, because that make them give too.
Yes.
Like when we built the Y, we had that deposit around.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
And then I wondered about buying the land. You mentioned that as one of the things that you, after you got a groundswell going, you know, just buying land. The U of I, people had bought land for the U of I. There was a kind of precedent for that.
Well,
for their expansion. So did you have that in mind, or did you?
You mean people outside of the university bought land for their personal benefit?
It had been done with other universities, that a community who wanted to help an institution or attract an institution. You know, in Edwardsville, when N.O. Nelson came in, he came here, they bought land and presented it to him. So there was a local tradition of doing that.
Well, they raised money for it. Now, who signed the deeds? Myron Bishop was one of the real promoters around here of handing the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know his background. He was a professor or something. And he did a lot of the land acquisition work.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some people against it, as natural.
Yes.
And I think most of them were against it because they wanted bigger money for when they sold.
Okay.
That's just my feeling.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people had real sentimental reasons until the price got up to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen that happen east of town out here.
Right.
Some of the property just sold recently. And I talked to these people, I can't sell. That's my grandfather. Everything lived here. When price at a certain level,
they sell.
They sell.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know it, this Mrs. Lewis that held out, you know, for a very long time. Her property was very small.
She's right down in Holland or someplace.
Yeah, she was a tiny little piece of the property, but she was very adamant about fighting it. It just seemed to me that in her case, they didn't have very much money. And
when
so
you
they
get
were,
the golden opportunity, when you've never had any money, you get the opportunity, you can't pass it up. You can't win. I mean,
she tried to pass it up. I'm just thinking she had a view that this was all they had.
Yeah, well, it could have been.
Yeah. Her daughter-in-law works over in the beauty shop on campus. So I took my tape recorder over when Terry is cutting my hair, and she, the daughter-in-law, works in there too. And
Harriet's
she,
her name?
Yeah.
Her mm-hmm. father was Harry Lewis.
Uh-huh. Okay. Her father-in-law, yeah.
I didn't know him.
Yeah. So she said that her mother was particularly worried that they just wouldn't have anything, even if they took money for the land, that it wasn't as valuable as having a piece of land. You know, that's what
we're not going to make any more land.
No. Right. Well, what about the relationship of the university to the town of Edwardsville?
Well, I tell you, you get both sides of it.
Yeah.
You get a lot of people don't want college kids running around, running a bunch of beer balls around here, right? A bunch of this, I got that. You got those people.
Yes.
And you got the other side kind of open-minded and say, look, it'll work out all right. Champaign's a nice town.
Yes, it is.
And Urbana. And why shouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that. But we attracted some people that didn't belong in college around here. They were just living off of GI Bill or anything that did not work. Because I hired a doctor from out here, I'll tell you, you start forgetting. He worked for me, came to the office and examined new employees and all that. And he told me that he had people registered in school that could not read an eye chart. He had to take it. That's the kind of people they allowed in school.
Uh-huh.
And that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Delight's theory.
Everybody.
To the maximum of their educational ability.
Yes.
Most of them didn't even belong in the door. I don't think that's sense enough to unlock the door. Well, that's changed now.
Yes.
The educational standards of this, you check the books on colleges. This is moving up almost every year when I go look at the college books. And it's getting more difficult to get in.
Yes, it is.
Because I've got four grandchildren. And I set up many years ago funds to put them through college. And I've got two of them done. One's got one more year to go.
Uh-huh.
And one's got 4 years and I'm out of college. But when I go up and look at those books, I don't know what the name of them are yet. Big thick book.
Yes, I know what it is. It's a guide to colleges and universities.
Yeah, and it tells you how hard they are to get in and what ACT score. I don't know what an ACT score is. I have no idea.
No, neither do I. I went to college before that.
But anyhow, it went on that downhill track for a while, as far as I'm concerned, the community. But I have no problems, hardly any problems. Because we're attracting people that are looking for an education, not for free ride. And I'm really concerned in that, rightly so. You're changing a community that was very staid and responsible and all that, to flushing a lot of people into it.
That's true.
And unfortunately, a relatively small percentage of the professors, the upper level professors, don't live in Edwardsville.
Well, they don't.
No, they commute from St. Louis.
Yes, that's right. I'd say in the history department, there are quite a few that live in St. Louis.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, first place, you start a new university, you've got to go recruit where you can get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to come to a school that's no name? They're not going from Stanford to come to Edwardsville if they go from here to Stanford. But you're going to have to take what's local.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time to build a staff.
That's right. They're getting many more now that are not people, students that are not local. And our faculty is really fantastic.
I think it's a lot better.
Mostly because it's been a buyer's market for faculty in the last 25, 30 years. Yes.
On what kind of degree? You got a doctorate degree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're on the staff here?
Yes. Well, I'm retired.
Oh.
I'm like you. I'm retired, but I'm still doing a little work now.
Yeah. So there was concern, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think we'd have felt more comfortable if a larger percentage of the upper faculty.
Yes, had lived in Edwardsville.
Well, would have moved in there and bought the big house with them. Now Ralph Ruffner did. He lived in town. He had a
That's right.
house. And let's see.
Well, the president's house for a long time was in on Charles Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know when my husband and I were first, my husband came here, I wasn't finished with my PhD yet because we had kids. You know, I was on the mommy track for a while, which was fun. But he came here in fall of 1969, and we looked at houses in Edwardsville, and we would have, but we ended up, first of all, living in Alton.
Houses in Edwardsville, but we had no housing developers.
No.
We had old houses. And nobody developed. There were no developments until recently.
Well, we looked at, I remember looking at places in maybe Montclair.
Yeah.
Grandview was there. It had was there at that time. But I had come from a big old house in Nebraska. You know how your house is set by how where you come from? So I think we had the notion, and he came from Brooklyn, so what did he know about a house? Because I knew nothing. So we bought an old house in Alton first. But when we came to Edwardsville, the house we liked cost $45,000, which was to us like, oh my God, we could never afford that.
Yeah.
So
the first house I bought was in Philadelphia. I bought a house, well, half a house. It was a brick house.
Oh, yeah, Philadelphia.
And I had 3 bedrooms upstairs and 3 rooms downstairs in the basement. And I always joke about it. I had a half a house and a fourth of a garage. Half a house was with the guy this side of me.
Yes.
And then there was another house half across from Sicily. And they put a garage on the back of the lot. They took care of 4 houses. And I paid less than $8,700 for the house.
Oh my gosh, less than $8,700. That's wonderful.
And paid 4% interest rate.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
And then I moved back here and built a house out behind the LeClaire Lake on that little street called Roosevelt Drive. Then we built the big house that Charlie Morris, the architect, designed for us that was out in Grandview. And then after the first wife died, and I get remarried, we decide we were going to get rid of both of our houses. We're not going to remember them. So we gave hers to her son. And I sold mine, and we built a new one out in Steinmark Woods.
Those are beautiful houses out there.
Yeah,
now. Nice. They are beautiful.
It's not as pretentious as the one we had out in Grandview. That was an architect's dream. It is. Pool under the steps going upstairs, water
in the house,
and built-in planters up above and all that.
Oh, gosh.
We let him get carried away.
I guess I don't know Grandview that well. Patrick Riddleberger lives out there. Patrick Riddleberger?
No, don't mind.
He was a faculty member for many years. He came in about 1960. He's about 90. We visit him, and then I visited Eric Sturley.
I remember him. Briefly.
Yeah, Boots. He's married to Boots Mudge now.
Yeah,
and they live in a house back there. That's nice, very nice. But I haven't been even in there very much. I always say I live in the inner city now.
Where do you live?
On Fillmore Street.
Oh, Fillmore. Yeah.
By the Lutheran School.
Yeah, I know what
it's kind
there.
Of a it's. They don't build these neighborhoods anymore. Yeah, it's a mixed class neighborhood.
That's all I can tell you. I can't.
Okay. Well, I think this has been really useful about it. I asked you about financing the land and
I'm sure there's records of that.
There's lots of records. I looked through lots of records. Yeah. I just wanted to confirm that yes, they did. That's a practice. I'm not a business person,
well,
so I don't want to.
We built the YMCA that way.
That's yes. That's very interesting.
I just went out and got the bank and a couple of people give you money and
yeah.
It's surprising you get money from some strange places. Sometimes, and the new YMCA, that's amazing. You ever been out there?
No, I've been out to the Madison County Historical Picnic, so I saw it. Yeah. You know, we don't have little kids anymore, so.
You ought to just have go out and walk through.
Okay.
It will be the finest YMCA you've seen any place in the country.
Yes, I was really surprised at the way they raised money for it so quickly.
Right.
I thought it was a wonderful example of a community devotion to building institutions.
There's money in town, and people are tight. Uh-huh. Until they see something, they really are innovative.
Right.
And right there.
Yeah.
We'll get the one. Well, when I said we, I'm out of that. I'm a trustee emeritus, and I'm not out soliciting money, but they'll raise it and pay it off. It'll be clear.
Oh, sure.
With no government money.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is really wonderful. I've been on the board of the Watershed Nature Center.
Yeah.
I just went off because I was working on this project, yeah. And I didn't feel I could volunteer as much as I needed to as a board member, but that's been a long haul, raising money for that.
Oh, yeah.
The board, but... It's a nice asset for the community. It's very beautiful.
I've been down there for a couple of years. And like I said, my age, time to quit.
Yeah, sure.
No, you don't want to stay.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you for coming over here today.
Is that all I can do for you?
Sure, that's fine. Unless you have anything else to say.
No, I wish I had some notes.
No. Essek?
Yeah. Essek was... at the wrong time.
Uh-huh.
Lassie Morris, that was Delight's brother, developed or started to develop that thing.
How do you spell his name? Lossie?
I think that's right.
Okay.
And they developed that thing. They sold a few people and had resold some stock in it. And I was one of the original stockholders. Well, I got a liberal education. I lost my money that I put in it. But it was just ahead of its time. It came at the time when money was short, and you talked about no housing around.
Yes.
It could have been there, but it never got off base at the right time. And we put the Y up there because
yes.
We got the land for basically nothing. We were going to build it down across from the high school, and the highway department decided they were going to run that road wider, and they took the land away from us, so we were going to be on Legion property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to talk Lassie Morris or the organizers of that into giving us their selling. So I don't remember what we paid for that land. But that's how the Y got out there. And that became the catalyst to start the subdivision being opened.
Really?
And it was just a timely. Real estate business, time is all important. If things are building, booming. If
yes.
not, you'll go broke.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it started. Who else? I always joke about that. There were organizers and promoters. And for a certain amount of money, you could be an organizer. If you had a lesser amount like I did, then you're a promoter.
Okay.
And I never considered myself a promoter of anything, but that's what it ended up. There were about 25 people in town, I guess, that were stockholders in that. But it didn't make it until...
Till in the middle 60s.
Yeah, till the banks had to take it over, and they finally started selling off, and it's built out now.
Right, it's very, it's quite beautiful.
Yes, nice.
Even the first houses are really well kept and beautiful.
There's some real good houses, expensive houses.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
But that's how, I don't think, and I'm willing to go on record, that there was no conflict of interest between Delight Morris and Lossie in doing that. I think the fact that the school was here, being a land developer like Lossie was,
mm-hmm.
I think he thought this was the place to be.
Okay.
Rather than anything his brother. I have this feeling I trust people like his, and I don't think there was any connection mm-hmm. with that at all. I don't think Delight Morris personally benefited from any land or any of those transactions around here. I would be willing to say so, and I have no way of knowing.
Yes.
I think he lived on his salaries and his benefits, and he made a big mistake when he built that big house down there.
Yes.
Who advised him to do that? It was stupid.
Well, John Renneman took the rap for that.
Well, but there, now there was a promoter.
Yeah. Did you know him?
No, I knew him. He knew me by name, and I knew him by name, but I didn't party with him. That had been a tough choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I asked you about